Matinair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome into Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. First up, we'll hear from the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie was joined this week by Heather Cox Richardson, a historian and author. They discuss the history of the Constitution, political parties, and democracy itself. This is the first portion of a two-part interview. Find the rest in the podcast at civicmedia.us, on Spotify or Apple Music.
There's nothing that lights me on fire more than talking about some of the most important ideas of our time in a historical context with experts. My name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And this woman is on fire. Her name is Heather Cox Richardson. She's a professor of history at Boston College and expert in the Civil War Reconstruction. She's taught at MIT, UMass Amherst, and she has one of the most widely read Substacks called Letters from an American. I subscribe to it. It is amazing. And she's here today to share all of that with each one of you. Welcome, Heather. Thanks so much for making time.
Well, it's such a pleasure to be here.
We've got so much to talk about, so I'm do not pass go. Just jump right in. You wrote a book in 2023 called Democracy Awakening, Notes on the State of America. Let's start there. What is the state of America, most specifically the state of our democracy in America? And we'll dig into some of the details there throughout this interview.
We're in a really interesting moment right now, I think, in our history. So that book was originally written to explain the question that people ask me most, which is, how did we get here? What on earth is going on? And how we get out? So it's three different sections that cover those things. But since that book came out about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I think, we have seen, I think, the what I tried to identify in the book, which was a growing pro-democracy movement in the United States to push back against 40 years in which we had lost the guardrails of our democracy and began to create first a sort of oligarchy that became, under former President Donald Trump, the potential for a dictatorship. Now, in this particular moment, that movement for democracy, which is not about the Democrats, by the way, it's about those people who care about American democracy, is in an existential standoff against the people who are supporting the MAGA Republicans, who have very openly called for overturning democracy. We will decide which of those two visions of America is going to dominate the other. And so as a historian, I look at this moment and I think, you know, this is really it. This is one of those extraordinarily crucial moments in the survival of American democracy. And the question is whether the people will prevail as they have in our past or the authoritarians.
One of your recent letters, if I will, believe this is from September 17th, you quoted at length Benjamin Franklin's thoughts and sentiments as he recorded them as the Constitution was debated at the Constitutional Convention. And you ended with some of Benjamin Franklin's words as they approached the final vote after this protracted, passionate debate about exactly the words of our nation's founding, one of our nation's founding documents. And you quoted Mr. Franklin saying this, quote, "I agree to this Constitution with all its faults, if they are such, because I think a general government necessary for us. And it astonishes me to find this system approaching so near to perfection as it does. And I think it will astonish our enemies who are waiting with confidence to hear that our states are on the point of separation, only to meet hereafter for the purpose of cutting one another's throats. On the whole," he said to his colleagues, "I cannot help expressing a wish that every member of the convention who still may have objections to it would with me on this occasion doubt a little of his own infallibility, and to make manifest our unanimity, put his name to this instrument." And on September 17, 1787, they did so. What I think that brings to mind for me, Heather, is the call today to each and every one of us to effectively reaffirm the Constitution, though we may have quibble or criticisms, that now is our time to each be a Ben Franklin. What do you think of this moment that faces American voters?
Well, I think that's right. And I love that quotation from Franklin, partly because he's an old man by then. I think he's 81, and he's seen so much of the world. And what he says is, you know, this isn't what I would have done all the way, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. And that humility, I think, is crucial in this moment. But I also think that one of the things that I didn't identify in that piece, but I think is so important, is that what Franklin is saying, well, first of all, is that if we don't do this, in his case, it was very clear that other countries were sitting there waiting to tear the States apart. And of course, nowadays we have Russia and Iran and China and other countries that would do the same to today's United States. But that also he is looking at what it means to be a member of a democracy. And that is, they created a document and then they gave us the ways to change it. And what he's saying is, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen a whole lot of stuff. And this looks really good to me. But if it isn't good in certain places, we can change it. And that's what it means to be a member of a democracy, is to recognize that there isn't some perfect moment or perfect past that we can get back to. That serves authoritarians by saying there are absolute rules in the world. And so long as you put a strong man in place, he will bring them back, erasing anybody who opposes him. But the democracy is really about saying, let's see how it works for us to do this. And if it doesn't work, let's adjust it. And then we'll adjust it again. And then we'll adjust it again. And democracy then is not about an end game. The process is the end game. And that, you know, it's, I love that thing from him because so many, I just actually on the plane out here, I just reread Madison's minutes from the Constitutional Convention, you know, as one does, right?
Yeah, but, right. In our free time.
But they're so, I don't know, humorless partly, but also so all of those guys are absolutely convinced that they know exactly what to do next. And then Franklin, who's way older than all of them, sort of sits there and he's been through everything. He sort of sits there and says, boys, you know what? We're not all perfect. Let's see how we can live together. It's just a wonderful moment.
Yeah, that it's something that I touch upon frequently in dialogue with all of you out there, our listeners, in that one of the things that I look for in elected officials and political leaders is that idea of humility, this openness that I may be wrong. And so what does that require of me when assessing a specific policy or a moment, right? And one of the things that has concerned me so deeply since the rise of the MAGA movement is the absolute certitude of things, right? And that I think really poses its own sort of existential threat. I want to ask you about yet another very recent post, which I think builds upon this idea that we're talking about here, Heather. On the 19th of September, you talked about the fact that, frankly, our founding fathers didn't believe in political parties, didn't want them, but we've evolved into a party system. And you wrote this, which I think speaks so deeply to this tipping point that we find ourselves at. You wrote, quote, democracy depends on at least two healthy political parties that can compete for voters on a level playing field. Although the men who wrote the Constitution hated the idea of political parties, they quickly figured out that parties tie the voters to the mechanics of Congress and the presidency. And they do far more than that. Before political thinkers legitimized the idea of political opposition to the king, disagreeing with a person could lead to execution or banishment. And you go on to say that the parties are a way, they're part of the system that allows for the peaceful transition of power, but that is only legitimate. It only works when there is a level political playing field for everyone, quote, so that a party must constantly compete for voters by testing which policies are most popular and getting rid of the corrupt or unstable leaders voters would reject, end quote. Wow. Boy, that sure sounds like an indictment of the modern Republican Party, which I've said many times, I think has lost any claim to political legitimacy in today's America. Your thoughts?
Well, so you've identified that, I think, correctly. But one of the things I was trying to do in that post was point out that the modern day Republican Party is a mess. I mean, it's in the middle of a civil war itself. And the people that it has put up, they're not bringing their best, right? And no. So when you write about that, when somebody like me writes about that, people have said, oh, you're a shill for the Democrats, because the Democrats don't have that kind of scandal. And to the degree they do, like with Robert Menendez, who was convicted of working for a foreign government recently, they got rid of him. You know, yes. they purged them. So in fact, in this moment, it's very, very difficult. People are like, oh, she's not both sidesing this. Well, you really can't, because the reality is one party has gone over the cliff and the other party is still pretty normal. But what I was really trying to do there was to say there's a systemic reason for that. And I kind of think about it like a soccer game of all things. And that's that if you're playing on an even playing field, two soccer teams have to compete against each other. They both have to get good. They have to get good players. They have to work out. They have to try harder and harder to beat the other team. But when one team starts to play the refs, they don't have to be quite as good, right? But the other team has to be better, because they've got to walk uphill, right, against those refs. And then if all of a sudden the weak team gets to have more players, and the good team gets fewer players, I mean, you can see where this is going. One team has to get leaner and meaner and better, and the other team can, you know, have some guys who don't play very well, and then can have some people who really don't play very well but are well-connected, and so on. If you extrapolate that back onto politics, what you've got is a party in which people do not have to compete for votes because they know they're going to win, and so you can put in the Lauren Boberts and the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Mark Robinsons and those people who are really not good representatives of the American people. While on the other hand, the Democrats are really bringing their best because the corrupt people get weeded out really quickly because there's such scrutiny of them. The ones who aren't that strong get weeded out because there's so many really good people. But this is why American democracy, including the Republican Party, needs to have a free and fair playing field.
Folks, that's Heather Cox Richardson, professor of history at Boston College, author, 7 books to her name, and author of Letters from an American. You can find that on Substack. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to dig in more deeply to the history of the Electoral College and what that means to the system and that very level playing field or unlevel playing field, as the case may be. After these brief messages, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Eagle, 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Todd Alba Show. Todd, doing the show live from L.A. this week, spoke with Ken Broski, director of a documentary called Closure, all about UW's two-year campuses that have been closing their doors.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live in Los Angeles, California. Right now, we are honored and pleased to be joined by another filmmaker. He is Ken Broski. He is a writer, director, producer of the new documentary film called Closure, the story of the University of Wisconsin system closing so many of these two-year campuses. He is also an assistant professor of English at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Professor Broski, thanks so much for taking time, and congratulations on this new important film.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about yourself. We always like that with a new guest. Where did you kind of grow up, and how did you kind of get into this passion of filmmaking, particularly with an important documentary like this?
I grew up in Milwaukee, and I got my first teaching gig was with a technical college in Madison. And one day I was offered an opportunity to teach one class at the UW-Richland campus about, I think, 11 years ago. And I ended up spending a year there. I really loved the campus, and I really loved my colleagues there. And I ended up moving over to the Rock County campus in Janesville when another position opened. And so when I got the news this past May that the UW Waukesha campus was going to be closing, I felt like we needed to do some sort of look at what's happening, because at that point that was so shocking to me, that you would close a campus that has 600 students enrolled. And I just felt like we needed some answers on how this was going to affect communities and students and teachers and staff.
I think you bring up such a great point. And, of course, people, longtime listeners of this show, we started this show in
November of 2022, and it was right after that initial announcement by UW System President Jay Rothman that for all intent and purposes, he was closing that two-year campus. And we went out there and did a show, and it kind of kept going after that. And initially, what we were told at the Richland campus is, well, it was due to enrollment, low enrollment. And I don't want to get into that as far as my opinion right now. I've said it on this show. I'm more interested in what you found. And, I mean, do you consider yourself a journalist, per se, or is it more a storyteller and a filmmaker? But what in your work, what have you found with this narrative of, well, it's low enrollment? In Waukesha's case, I mean, that doesn't hold water, does it?
No, I think the problem started when $360 million was cut from the UW system budget. And that started in about 2012. And what that did for the UW colleges, I don't think a lot of people realize this, like the UW colleges, they had two sources of revenue, tuition and state funding. So you cut 20% of the state funding, and then you have a tuition freeze. And then what happens is you have a university composed of 14 campuses across the state who then have to cut 20% of their budget. And then surprise, surprise, right after this happens, right after like these hard decisions are made, all of a sudden enrollment plummets.
And you're still a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, correct?
Yes, I teach on the Rock County campus.
So I have to ask, I think people might be curious, after doing this film, which, we have yet to see it. It's going to be at Richland Center at the Center Cinema on Wednesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m., amongst other places. But is there any trepidation on your part as a faculty member that, well, hey, I mean, this might put my own job at risk?
Well, I feel really good about, where the Rock County campus is. We've had a lot of great support from Whitewater. We've seen our enrollment grow because we've had that support. And the Universities of Wisconsin embraces freedom of speech as a right. And so I'm not criticizing. All I'm doing is I'm trying to look for us, the opportunities for us to look back and learn from the mistakes that are happening, you know? And I think that that's a valid critique. Like, one of the things that's been driving me crazy about all of this is no one is doing any retrospective thinking about what we could have done better. You know, when the Richland campus closed in 2023, that should have been a red flag for every other university in our system to look and see what they've been doing with the two-year campuses so that those mistakes would not be replicated, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we knew for a fact that that kind of enrollment does not happen, that plummeting enrollment does not happen in one year because of high school demographics. And if we're not going to engage with the past, if we're not going to like actually think about what mistakes we've made, we're just going to repeat those mistakes. And it seems like it's still happening, which really concerns me because I have a fundamental love for the two-year campuses. I don't think that they can be replaced by technical colleges. I think what they do is different. And so what matters to me most is, you know, are we going to do something better in the future? Are we going to learn from the past so that we can retain as much as possible in terms of these campuses?
Talking to Ken Broski, writer, director, producer of this great new documentary film called Closure, the story of the UW system closing many of these two-year campuses across Wisconsin, premiering in Richland Center next Wednesday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. I know you showed the film last night in Milwaukee. How did that go?
It went good. There were some people crying in the audience, which... Yeah. Was actually pretty expected. People in the audience booed Scott Walker, which was, I think, pretty, I mean, you know, expected to.
Right.
So I don't know. Like, one of the things that I should really stress is I didn't go into this with like a specific agenda. I just went into this to ask people questions. And the story that unfolded really was one of, you know, basically like communities losing something important and not getting a lot of very good answers about why it's happening beyond sort of like this boilerplate explanation that in the future, there's going to be some enrollment issues, right? That's kind of why Waukesha is being closed right now, is in the future, there's going to be problems.
I cannot wait to see this film. It's called Closure. You can go to DelavanFilms.com, just like the city, I'm assuming. DelavanFilms.com. Closure. Ken Broski, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Ken Broski, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll put this in our show notes as well as Amber's will, DelavanFilms.com. Come on back. We're live in Los Angeles, California, here on the road. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. Help is on the way to states and communities hard hit by Hurricane Helene. Crews from northern and western states are headed down to the southeast for cleanup, rescue, and recovery efforts. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster worried about the number of dead.
Tragically, we've lost, we believe, 25 people, 25 of our people due to this storm. And we don't want to lose any more.
In all, 84 people have died in multiple states from Helene after it first came ashore along Florida's Gulf Coast near the Panhandle, hitting Georgia, the Tennessee Valley, and the Carolinas.
In North Carolina alone, nearly 400 roads remain closed due to the damage. The remnants of Helene continue to bring rain to areas like Nashville. The storm surge, wind damage, and inland flooding impacted nearly every southeastern state.
ABC's Johnny Fernandez on the presidential campaign trail just a couple of days until the VP hopefuls, Democrat Tim Walz and Republican J.D. Vance, square off in a debate Tuesday night. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers rally falls short. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Minnesota led Green Bay 28-0 at the half, but the Packers were able to move the ball and put up points in the second half. However, the rally fell short as an onside kick was recovered in the final minute, giving the Vikings a 31-29 victory. Jordan Love threw for 389 yards and 4 touchdowns in his first game back from a sprained MCL, but he also had 3 interceptions. Kicker Braden Narveson missed 2 first-half field goals in the loss as well. Green Bay heads to L.A. to play the Rams a week from today. USC dominated Wisconsin football in the second half yesterday, putting up 28 points in the second half to stun the Badgers 38-21. Wisconsin has dropped 2 in a row and hosts Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kick. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, will begin their postseason journey on Tuesday in the best-of-3 wildcard round. Their opponent is to be determined. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Tonight, some fog possible, otherwise mostly clear skies and lows around 55. Sunshine and 83 for Monday. Monday night, mostly clear, breezy, a low around 51. Cooler for Tuesday, sunshine, 65, and breezy northwest winds.
Right now, it's 80.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM WLCX and on the Civic Media app.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year. Shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Dan Davies and Craig Kennett talk about their giant spider invasion event. And
the lovable producer Connor will give a full report after watching in person the green and gold take on the purple people eaters.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is up next, and we get to hear a real treat. It's his interview with legendary actress Charo, who was on the show this week. She talks about her upcoming performance in Baraboo, the origin of Coochie Coochie, and her times on the Love Boat.
We're back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Todd checks in on the stream and says he can't wait to see the new Salem's Lot. We talked about that the other night when Todd was here. That's another good one. All right, keep those suggestions coming. Our question of the night, what is your favorite remake when it comes to movies? You can let us know on the stream or text us or call us. But right now you can't call because we have someone very special on the phone, and this is exciting. She is performing in Wisconsin early next month down in Baraboo, and she is a show business treasure, and she joins us now on Nightlight. Charo is here. Hello, Charo.
Oh, Pete, I'm so happy. Thank you. Thank you. Muchas gracias. I love to be in your show. I love the title, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
well,
because I'm
you.
A night person, and I hear beautiful things about you.
You
Muchas
and I,
gracias.
You're very welcome, and thank you for being here. We are both Nightlight. I used to be a stand-up comedian, Charo, and there's something about performing in nightclubs. I got a taste of it for a few years. You've been doing it for so long, and I'm very impressed that you still love the night like that. That's great. Where are you now? Are you on a tour?
I am in Beverly Hills getting ready for a recording and doing a new album. Recording beautiful of flamenco music. But yes, I am very excited because it's my first time, Pete, that I am going to be working in Wisconsin, Baraboo. I always work in Las Vegas, South Point, Indian casinos around the United States of America, concert, everywhere, performer art center, but never I been in Wisconsin. And they say that is very good weather now, but has tamales the audience. I am very excited. I would like to meet you. I would like to take the guitar with me and play for your audience a request because I'm very excited, Pete. It's my first time. I came to America when my Gucci Gucci was only a Gucci Gucci, and I never been in Wisconsin.
Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
Everybody told me I love the cheese because I go from Spain and it's a very famous cheese called it is Manchego. It comes from La Mancha. But your cheese that everybody told me I'm going to have the time of my life because it's proteinas. And it's very famous. With coffee, it's merry. It, with a big publicity, everybody knows about el queso, the cheese.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great, not really, you have a great reputation with the cheese. Have you ever tried Manchego?
I don't know if I have. I may have years ago.
Well, Manchego, it comes from la cabra, the little, the goat. But the Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a lot of friends because I work in Las Vegas, Pete.
Yeah.
And the hotel is South Point. And I got lucky. I got audience from all over the world. But when I start saying that I was coming to Wisconsin, everybody's telling me you got to tested the cheese, I swear.
That's right.
And I can't wait. I can't wait to meet you, too. I'm very excited because it's a brand new show, Pete.
Really?
What I'm doing is, oh, yes, every 6 months I change the show because the audience, they like it so much, and I have recurring audience, plus people film it in the cellular, the show. And after, I don't want to repeat myself. So right. I'm bringing brand new costume, brand new music, of course, flamenco guitar concert, salsa. I would like to meet you. And if you invite me ever, I would like to take my guitar and take a request and have fun and really became different. I like you very much, Pete.
Oh.
Everybody told me about you.
Well, thank Chihuahua. You very much.
Where did you come from, the name Chihuahua? What is your DNA?
You know, it's much more complicated than where your name comes from, believe it or not. It's it was the Danzig region between Poland and Germany. I'm actually mostly Irish, so I'm just kind of a mess, Charo.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's a great name. I love my last name, and you're very kind to say those words. We are north of Baraboo. I would love to come to the show, though. I think it sounds like an absolute blast, and I could bring you some cheese curds.
Muchas gracias. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best because it's my first time. I will make a new friend, and it's my passion. I will never get old while music is alive. And just to perform in such a beautiful place, everybody's telling me. The place is so cute. In Baraboo, it's called Al Ringling Theatre.
Yep.
And it's a historic theatre. I'm going to feel like I'm into a beautiful past, you know, another time. And it's so intimate that I'm going to come down and dance salsa with the audience.
It's
90-minute show with 15-minute intermission, which will give me the opportunity to meet the audience, take a picture, and change costume. You're going to love my costume, Pete.
I love all your costumes. I watched some interviews with you today, somewhere from the 1980s, Charles, with when you were on David Letterman. I saw you interviewed by Larry King. You sound like you love life as much as you did now as you did then. What is the secret? Is it the music? Is it the dancing? Are your shows what keep you young?
Yes. Music will keep me happy and young forever and ever, and moving.
Yeah.
You got to move it. I have ants in my pants. I have to move. If I don't move, please, I feel very guilty. Also, by dancing flamenco, it's very good for your body and your legs. I want all the girls that are listening me now in your interview. Flamenco, it is just footwork, attitude, passion, and you hit the stage so strong that the footwork made your bone fight osteoporosis. So also, I jogging every day, but please say to the girl, wear two bras. Otherwise, if they run without bra, in 3 weeks, their maraca will be hanging down to the floor. I wear that, two bra, and I run about, I should say, minimum 45 to an hour.
Wow.
And,
that's impressive.
And then, I love chocolate, and now I'm looking for it, the cheese in Wisconsin, Baraboo, and I love life.
Oh, it definitely shows. I mean, you've had a great career, a great life. You're still going strong. And my guest is Charo. You can check her out in Baraboo on October 11th at 7 p.m. How about this, folks? Tickets start at just $43, and that's a chance to see an absolute show business icon. You can't pass this
Thank
up.
So
it's
much.
It's in Baraboo, October 11th at 7 p.m. at the Al Ringling Theater, historic theater.
Well, muchas gracias.
You're very welcome.
I am
welcome.
Very grateful to you because it's my first time in Wisconsin. It's a fabulous job called Charo in Concert. I take a request, and I would like it, if I can meet you in person, it will be an honor. Muchas gracias. I'm very grateful.
I will do everything in my power to make that happen. And right back at you. I love, and you generously asked me to play guitar with you. I know you were probably half kidding at least, because you don't want that, Charles. I think we'll leave the guitar playing and the dancing to you. But I have a question for you. Where does Coochie Coochie come from?
Oh, una gracia. Coochie Coochie, show me the way to the bank. but Pete, it had nothing to do with sex. Everybody in America seen that I'm talking about sex. No, I used to have, when I was a little girl, back in Spain, in a beautiful, that's why I'm going to like it, Wisconsin, because there is a lot of trees, beautiful nature. I was born in Murcia, a little town, now it's a city, in the south. And we have farm, big farm. And mi abuela, my grandma, loves animals. And she find out that a dog was very sick, that it was hit by a horse and cannot move. And she took a wheelbarrow, bring the horse to the farm, the dog, and care of him, but the dog broke a little bit the back. And when the dog get better, when he was happy, he wiggled, but because of the accident, he did not wait like a back and forth. He left and right, he was moving back and forth. And we call him Cuchillo, because when he bite you, it was danger. It was a very nasty big dog, but he loved me so much that he became my friend. And I copied the dog when he was moving, and I was telling to the growing up, mira, look. I can move like a Cuchi, because I was too young to say cuchillo, pit.
Oh.
Cuchillo is the Spanish word for a knife. When the dog bite you, then never let go. So they call him as a nickname, Cuchillo. And I was too young to say cuchillo.
Oh, that is so great.
C-H-I-L-L-O. So I said, like Cuchi, mira Cuchi. And they laugh and they give me money. And I said to myself, this is a hell of a business. And every time that I was in trouble, I said, Gucci. They laughed. I get away with murder. I came to America. Johnny Garzo, they told me, Johnny Garzo is very, very famous, but he have a big ego. He's very egotistical. Please him. So every time he asked me something, I go, Gucci. And the next day, Pete, my name was no Charo. My name was the Gucci Gucci guy.
That is still so great.
If I don't say Gucci Gucci, the audience is going to be disappointed.
Right.
But when I grow up, I realized Gucci Gucci was not the whole thing. And because I was trained by greatest teacher, graduated with Andres Segovia in Madrid, Spain, Pete, the guitar saved me. My best friend, I practice at night, like your show, Nightlife with Pete Suava.
Yeah.
I practice hours at night. I love the night. And I'm so trained that I'm so grateful that I was also educated as a musician, because Gucci Gucci is just for fun, but it's nothing, just fun.
Well, it's part of like your whole persona. You're funny. You sing, you dance. You kind of do it. You're like an old school entertainer. That's what's so, there are very few people like that still left. I think that's so great. And my first memories of you, Charo, were of playing the guitar. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like I fell in love with the guitar at an early age, and you were part of that reason. So that's why it's extra special to have you here.
I am so honored to talk to you, because Coochie Coochie really is a way to the bank. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful to that phrase. I never give it a dollar to the dog that I copy the dog that I broke. But no. If you get to see me, or I will go to your studio, because I like you very much. You want to see that in no more than 3 minutes, salsa, fun, costume, get to know the audience. But after that, I sit down on the stool and I play music. Incredible music.
Yeah.
It's flamenco or classical. You will love
to hear
El Concierto de Aranjuez.
I would love to have you in the studio if you're ever up north in Wisconsin. Obviously, you're welcome. And I feel like me not having a coochie coochie, that's kind of held me back in show business. I need a phrase like that. So maybe you can help me come up with that, because I think that would take me to the next level.
Pete, it worked for me.
I know it did.
When I'm in trouble, I was talking with a lawyer, I'm not kidding you, regarding a serious problem, business. And I didn't know how to answer the question. I said, "Coochie, coochie," everybody laughed. I said, "Wow." I was talking also everywhere I'm in trouble. I say, "Coochie, coochie," and it saved me.
Charles, can we keep you for a couple more minutes? We have to do a very quick break.
Please,
all right,
please,
I've got like two more questions
gracias,
for you.
Gracias.
Oh, fantastic. This is so much fun. Charles is here, ladies and gentlemen, on Nightlight. She's going to give us a couple more minutes on the other side of this break. You can see her in Baraboo, October 11th at 7 p.m. We'll be right back with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Closing out the Civic Media Spotlight for this week, we go to the John and Gordy Show. Covering a story outside their usual home base of Madison, the guys talk about Mayor Doug Dinney of Wausau, who this week illegally removed the city's ballot drop box and posed for a photo while doing so.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Butter, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM, WMDX. Take it away, boys.
It's hard to top that, you know.
Yeah, it is. It is. 7:06 and 50 degrees this morning. Some fog in a few places. It's looking bright and sunny here, though, in Madison.
What a great, beautiful day yesterday as
well. Yeah. 77 for a high for today.
Terry Bell's in the studio right now.
Morning, Terry.
Morning, guys.
What are you guys covering this time?
Folks probably already know, listening to this show by now, that the mayor of Wausau took it upon himself to take a absentee ballot drop box.
Wasn't supposed to do that, was he?
No, by all accounts. He claims he's well within his rights.
Okay.
He's but, an elected official. He can do anything.
Maybe he didn't know.
It should. Well, you know, you could... You know, he may well believe that, but it's not a good look. I mean, he didn't consult with any other top officials, posed for a picture, in fact, it seems.
Amazing stuff.
And he ran partly, part of his platform when he ran for mayor was his opposition to drop boxes.
Okay.
And, you know, you could argue there were better ways for him to go about this. And now there's a lot of public backlash. There was a big protest the other night.
Yeah.
Now, you got to just kind of think about it a second. It's actually humorous. It's almost like it could be a joke. This guy ran for mayor on the very topic of removing the drop boxes.
That was his...
That platform. That's what drove him into the mayorship. And people loved it enough to elect him.
Yeah,
there's more to this though. So yeah? he was just elected this past April, I believe. I'm from Wausau, so I still stay pretty in touch with what's going on there.
Right.
The former mayor, Katie Rosenberg, she got through city council some policy to put filtration in to take PFAS out of city water there, and it made city taxes go up. And that's a large reason why people didn't want her reelected. And then instead went with this guy.
What? Oh, no. So they didn't mind drinking PFAS.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, maybe it has some health benefits. And then get plastic into your system.
And then, of course, you know, let's take away the opportunity for people to drop off their ballots. Another great idea. Oh my God! What is happening
in Wausau?
I am just—I'm losing it now.
All right. Guess we know what's in the water there.
Yeah. Boy, good one, Sam.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
Nice point to bring up. Let's get the TV coverage up there from WSAW. Let's check out what they have to say.
Email correspondence between Mayor Doug Dinney and City Council Chair Lisa Rasmussen indicates Dinney moved the ballot box from outside City Hall.
I spoke with the city clerk in person today, and she told me she can't comment on this right now, but is working to get security footage. This is a picture of Dinney with a hard hat on and the ballot box on a dolly.
Oh,
the picture
God.
Came from email correspondence between mayor and city council president.
Beautiful. So there's some coordination there. And I have to mention this because based on the Supreme Court's decision in July on drop boxes, city clerks have the right to choose if they want a drop box. The mayor does not have that right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
So it is illegal.
It is
he
illegal.
He broke the law doing this.
Yeah.
All right?
That's it. Okay.
You know, Wisconsin Eyes, CBS 58, Emily Fannin, and WisconsinPolitics.com's J.R. Ross discuss this on Wisconsin Eye.
Don't call it a trend yet, but it could be a trend related to municipalities voting to not have voters use them in the upcoming November elections. Now, in the spring of 2021, to put this in perspective, the Wisconsin Elections Commission found that were 570 drop boxes being used. We have asked the Wisconsin Elections Commission how many are in use now. They are not keeping track of that, they said. That's up to local municipalities. But this comes as Republicans have been really frustrated ever since the state Supreme Court reinstated them. They have tried to talk some voters out of it.
We have to use every tool in the toolbox. Which means we're taking a tool out of the toolbox, Republicans, without a way to return the ballot via Dropbox. So are you unleveling the playing field, if you will, because you have such concerns about these being used or don't like the fact they're being used, that you actually hurt the cause for the GOP by not embracing them?
They're not geniuses. The Republican Party in Wisconsin, not a bunch of geniuses.
Got to check their tools in their toolbox.
Milwaukee County, two Waukesha County, and three Dodge County areas opted to stop using drop boxes for the presidential election. Wausau resident Pamela Bannister, speaking at a city council meeting Tuesday night, saying it accomplishes nothing positive and amounts to, in my estimation, voting interference and intimidation.
Right.
Now, I thought the mega anti-vax movement would have at least removed a chance of, some close voting. I thought people, if they didn't get the vaccine, they might, fall away from the flock, so to speak. Now we have drop boxes. Now they're taking that option away. They're angry that the Supreme Court, the liberal Supreme Court in the state, decided that drop boxes were okay.
Of course they
were. And they are okay.
They are fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
The drop box in Wausau was sealed up. It wasn't active. It wasn't being used. It wasn't even cemented to the ground. And that's why the guy was able to take it away. And it was just kind of a show thing.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
And now it's blowing back. It was illegal.
Mm-hmm. 19 past the hour. Coming up next, Brittany Merlot. Update on the weather on 92.7 WMDX.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Spotlight will focus on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance Tuesday night, October 1st. Listen here as the vice presidential candidates debate issues important to you.
Go to the polls as a parent. You should have more power.
A belief that one person can make a difference.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. Special coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. Then listen to the CBS Vice Presidential Debate live at 8, Tuesday, October 1st, here on your local Civic Media radio station.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Packed right, look, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.